not having a children's church. So turn to the book of Matthew, the first book in the New Testament. It'll be Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 22 and 23. I have never preached on these verses. I've looked at them for years, trying to get the right meaning. What did he mean there by this? But I want to preach to you this morning on what does it mean to have a single eye? What does it mean to have a single eye? Let's go ahead and read the passage, and then we'll talk some more. It says, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 22, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light is in thee, the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" You'll notice there the phrase in verse 22, "If therefore thine eye be single." That's what I want to talk to you about this morning, but what does it mean to have a single eye? So let us pray. You pray with me and for me. Father, we pray to you to help us this morning. And Father, I pray to you to help me to preach. Pray the Spirit of God would help me and bring to my mind the scriptures and thoughts and illustration. I pray that you'd bless your people and help each one of them, God. Help us to be built up in the faith. If anybody's unsaved, I pray they'd be saved today in Jesus' name. Amen. Whenever you get saved, salvation is free. It's a gift of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, but the wages of sin is death. You get saved for free, but whenever you do get saved, then God's got things for us to do. He doesn't want us to stay babies. He wants us to grow in the faith. He wants us to help other people. He wants us to be a witness for him and all that. One of those things he talks about here in this chapter. If therefore thine eye be single, I've looked at this verse for many years. Every time I read over it, it's part of the sermon that Jesus preached about the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is chapter number 5, 6, and 7. There's nothing about salvation in the Sermon on the Mount. It's all about works, but this is part of it, right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. In order to understand what he is talking about here, we need to go back to the first book in the Bible, Genesis chapter number 3. You can hold your place there or mark it or something. We come back occasionally and look at that, but go to the first book in the Bible, be Genesis chapter number 3, and this is sort of like a little Bible study this morning, and I hope it'll help you, and I'll try not to be long. I say that all the time, and I never make it, but I'll make it one of these days. Genesis chapter number 3, we'll read there in just a minute, but we have here the devil called the serpent, and he's coming to Eve, and Adam is somewhere. I don't know where he's at, but the devil doesn't go to the man and talk to her, but he goes and talks to Eve. You see, before I read any scriptures here, let me give you some events that took place. God made Adam, the Bible says, out of the dust of the earth. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7, it says God formed man, that would be the first man, and I believe the Genesis account of creation. I don't believe in evolution in any way, shape, or form. Nothing evolves. God made the first man. He made him out of dust, made him out of dirt. The Bible says he formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He made that first man, and later on, he put him in a garden. He put him in a beautiful garden. He had no pain problems or anything like that. And he told him one thing. He said, "Adam, you can freely eat of all the trees of the garden, but the one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil," first time the word evil is mentioned in the Bible, "the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou mayest not eat." He said, "In the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die." He told that to the man. The woman wasn't there yet. Later on, he took a rib and he made the woman. He made the woman. He put them both in a beautiful garden. He said, "Don't eat of that tree. Don't eat of the tree." They were both, at this time, they were sinless. They were innocent. They knew nothing of sin or evil. That's what God wants. He does not desire for us to know evil. He wants us to know only good. But the thing is, folks, he gave Adam and Eve a free will. He did not make them to be robots. He did not make you. He did not make me to be a robot. He made them to have a free will. That is, they had the ability to choose. They could choose. He didn't stand over them with a club. He just told them. He said, look, don't eat of that tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There it is in the garden. Don't eat of that one. You may freely eat of all the other things. They're sinless. They're innocent. They have no pain. They have no troubles. I mean, man, they're in a garden. Here's a handsome man, a full-grown man, probably 33 and a half years old. Here's a beautiful woman. They're covered with the glory of God. They don't even have to wear clothes, but they're covered with the glory of God. That's what I believe anyway. And they have plenty to eat. There's no problems. There are no tornadoes. There are no droughts. There are no floods. There are no hurricanes. There's nothing like that. No problems whatsoever. They did not know evil at this time. Innocent. But he gave them the ability to choose. They only know good. I do not know how many years passed after God made that man there. He made that man. He put him out, laid him out there. He made a full-grown man. The word Adam means red clay. He made him out of dirt, made him out of red clay. And I don't know exactly how many, but I know this. I know that all of these things happened in the garden here. They had two sons, Cain and Abel, within the period, and this that we're going to read about here in just a minute. All of that happened in a period of 130 years. 130 years. That's what the period of time passed. At that time, folks, they had a single eye. They only focused on God. They had a single eye. No sin had been introduced yet into the garden. They didn't know anything like that because they had only had one thing to focus on, and that is on God and what he said to them. That's what they had, a single eye. The Bible says back over there in Matthew 6:22, if therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body will be full of light. In other words, no sin, no darkness, no darkness. But here comes the devil. After they've been in the garden for a while, I don't know exactly how many years. As I said, the whole thing here took 130 years, but it didn't take long that the devil showed up. Folks, we have an enemy. We have an enemy in this world. That is the devil. Look in chapter 3 and verse number 1 of Genesis. It says there, now the serpent, that'd be the devil, was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, see, he did not go to the man. God said to the man, and the man was supposed to tell the woman. God said to the man, don't eat of that tree. He didn't tell that to the woman. She wasn't there yet. So he told that to the man. I don't know exactly how the man told the woman. But the devil shows up and he goes to the woman first. Where is the man? I don't know where he's at. But he said in verse number 1, he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. When he says yea, that means yes. That's a yes word. Yes. He's planting a seed of doubt in the woman's mind. Did God really say that? That's what he's saying there. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. There's a question mark at the end, folks. That's the first question mark in the Bible. I've showed you this before. You know, a question mark looks like this. You know, looks like this. It's a question mark. What does that look like to you? Looks like that snake, doesn't it? Doesn't it look like a cobra, the way they come up there? That's a cobra. That's a snake. That's no accident. That's the way God made it. Verse number 2, the woman said unto the serpent, yes, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. She left out a word, the word freely. Verse number 3, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. God didn't say they couldn't touch it. He just said, don't eat of it. She's telling the serpent what God said. Verse number 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. See, he's lying. He's lying. He says, ye shall not surely die. He says in verse number 5, for God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. All right? Now right there is the eyes. In the day that you eat thereof, the devil knows that your eyes will be opened. Now we just read back over there in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 22, if therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Up until this time, they had only known good. They had a single eye towards God. They had never looked off towards evil. And no darkness had come into their heart, into their body. No darkness had come in. God didn't want them to know evil. He didn't make them that way. But God gets blamed for a lot of the evil that's in the world. One of the questions I hear atheists ask all the time is, how could God let all this evil be in the world? How could he let all... He didn't bring it here, folks. God didn't bring the evil into this world. It came in right here. Up until this time, there was no evil in the world. But see, God gets blamed for a lot of it. He says in verse number 5, for God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. And look what it says. Ye shall be as gods. Notice it says there, a little g. G-O-D-S, small g. Folks, all of the new versions, even the New King James Bible, have taken that word and they have changed it to a big G, God. He did not say you will be like God because God does not know evil. No evil sin has ever affected God. He knows what it is. He knows it's there, but it has never entered into him, you see. Here, he said, ye shall be as gods. That's what the devil said. Why, he said, you'd be like me. The gods, well, that's angels that are around there. He said, you'll be like us. Why, you'll know what good is and you'll know what evil is. God did not intend for them to ever know evil, you see. You'll be like us. The gods, the angels that are around, that's what it is. It's not God, but they've all changed it. That's evil, man. That's evil. That's wicked. To change the Bible like that and make it say something that it does not. So there the devil's come. He said, you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. What is that evil that he's talking about? Evil, if you just take an 1828 Webster's Dictionary, and that's the best dictionary to look up Bible words. If you look up the word evil, here's what you get. There are several definitions, but the evil that it's talking about is anything which causes pain, anything which causes distress or loss or calamity or disturbs the peace or impairs happiness, all wickedness, all crimes, all violations of law and right that are evil. These are called moral evils. It's talking about all sin. That's what he's talking about when he's talking about evil. Not only is he talking about that, but evil includes disease and calamities and destructions, like hurricanes and tornadoes and tsunamis and floods and volcanoes. I just figure, you know volcanoes? What do you think is happening when a volcano erupts? Could it be, according to Isaiah chapter number 5, where it says, hell hath enlarged itself? Could it be that hell is enlarging itself when a volcano is erupting? All that stuff comes up from the ground, you see? Hell hath enlarged itself. That's what the Bible says. So that's evil. It's talking about misfortune, mischief, injury. It's talking about depravity and corruption of heart, disposition to commit wickedness, all of those kinds of things. He said, in the day that you eat that of, the devil told her, he said, you will not only know good, but you will also know evil. But see, here's the thing, folks. Eve did not know what was behind that evil. She did not know what was back there. You see, the devil never shows you the end result. You can just mark that down. You see beer commercials on television. Do you ever see an alcoholic? Do you ever see an alcoholic wobbling around out there? No, you never see that. You never see the end results of sin in advertisements, you see. But he shows you young people. Oh, they're having so much fun. And if you'll just drink this stuff, see, then you can be happy too, whether it be liquor or alcohol or anything else. It'll be so much fun, but they never show you the end result. That's the devil for you. But God himself, God lays everything out. He said, here's what it is. Now see, good, that's what God wants for you. He wants good for you. But the devil says, hey, you can know this other stuff too. Who would want to know that if they knew what it was? But they didn't know what it was. They didn't know that whenever they ate of this fruit, that they would be opening the door to all of these things that I just named off for you. All of this stuff is going to come flooding into the world whenever they disobey God. They're going to disobey God. We're going to read it here. Not only the disobedience that they did, but the fact that they ate a fruit. It's not an apple tree, folks. I don't know where that came from. It probably wasn't an apple. It was probably a vine tree. It was probably a grape. And when they ate it, it changed the entire structure of their body. Beforehand, they probably had a circulation system of water that would never corrupt. And now then, that grape juice in the Bible is a picture of blood. Their circulation system is going to be changed to blood, which is corruptible. And then they start aging. They start aging, and it brought forth death. Read on in verse number 6. And when the woman saw, you see, she saw it with her eyes, that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the what? To the eyes. And a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. He was somewhere near. I don't know exactly where he was. He should have stopped her beforehand, but he didn't. He didn't stop her. You're going to see Adam and Eve in heaven. Maybe you can ask them about that. They got saved. Their salvation was when God clothed them with the skin of an innocent animal. He shed the blood of an innocent animal. You read about that later on. You're going to see them. They took of the fruit. She saw it, she desired it, and she took it. Y'all get that pattern? She saw it, she desired it, and she took it. And notice what it says in verse number 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Their eyes then were opened. What were their eyes opened to? Their eyes were opened to the fact of sin. That's what their eyes were opened to, see. Their eyes were opened to the reality of sin. She thought it was pleasant to look at. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And I'll stop reading there, and you can read on. You can read on that later. But she did not know what was behind that evil. She did not know of the death and destruction behind it. Their eyes were open to evil and to the reality of sin, and she opened the door to all the evil that's in the world today. They now know what evil is, that it can destroy them. See, it's possible that it can destroy them. You see, God opens eyes to things that are good. God opens people's eyes to things that are good. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes." It's David praying. He said, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." But the devil opens the door to evil. He wants people to know evil, destruction, misery. And the devil makes evil look appealing, bright, loud, fun, and all that kind of stuff. You know, I've got a lot of places I could go and show you some illustrations. I think I'll just show you one or two here. If you're in the book of Genesis, turn over just a little bit to the right there to chapter number 21. Genesis chapter number 21. And look at verse number 14. Let me read some verses for you there. Talks about their eyes were opened here, Genesis chapter 21, and look in verse number 14. Here's what it says there. It says, "Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba, and the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs." And some of y'all would know this story. Verse number 16, "And she went and set her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad. Arise and lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And look at verse 19. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with the water and gave it the lad drink. See, here's the thing, folks. She could not see that well of water. She didn't have any water. It's dry out there. They're in the desert. But when God opened her eyes, there was a well of water right there. See, God opens people's eyes to good things. Let me show you just one more, and then I'll hurry on. Going over to the right quite a bit there to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter number 6. 2 Kings chapter number 6. And we'll start reading in verse number 15. 2 Kings chapter number 6 and verse number 15. This is about Elijah, and he has Elisha. Elisha here and his servant are surrounded by an enemy. And I want to read you what it says here. 2 Kings chapter number 6 and verse number 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? So his servant gets up of a morning, and he sees that the enemy has surrounded them. In verse number 16, and he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. In verse number 17, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. So you see, God opened the eyes of the young man there so that he could see what he needed to see. There's a lot of other things in the Bible, but let me just say a few other things here. Let me give you this verse. You don't need to look it up, but just remember this verse. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse number 3, it says this, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Listen carefully. Everybody look up here. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Amen. If you want perfect peace in your life, the Bible says in Colossians, let the peace of God rule in your heart. But folks, we live in a world where people are not at peace. The very thing that I'm talking to you about this morning is the reason why they do not have peace. Because they have taken their eyes off of God, off of the Bible, off of Jesus Christ, and they have turned them and they have looked at things that God has forbidden. They have looked at evil. They have filled their heart. They have filled their minds with darkness. And therefore, their lives are in chaos. There is no reason for that. The answer is here. The answer is free. It doesn't cost anything. Doesn't cost you a thing. It is absolutely free. There's a lot of things for free, but so many times we choose to do all kinds of other things, looking for the answer, but the answer is right here, and it's free. Isn't it amazing that God wants to give people free things like salvation, but people run from it? Oh, I don't want it. They run from things that God wants to give them for free. I'm talking about like salvation and peace of mind. To have a single eye, God said there, Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. To have a single eye, listen carefully, is to be focused on the Lord. Adam and Eve were focused on the Lord all the time. They were totally sinless. There was no trouble. There was no sorrow. There was no death. There was no pain. There was no depression. But when they looked toward what God had forbidden them to do, then they looked away from God. They looked away from God, and they opened the door to evil. And the more people look there, the more you take your eyes off of God, the more you take your eyes off of His words. The Bible says in Psalm 119, the entrance of thy words giveth light. Amen. The entrance of thy words giveth light. Folks, it's free. To be full of light and not full of darkness, it's free. Doesn't cost a thing. You don't have to go to the psychiatrist, you know. There may be times when people need to go talk to. I'm not minimizing that or anything. I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm just telling you that it's free. But the more you look away from God and you look at the world, and it comes into your eyes and your ears and goes into your heart, the more darkness there is. And he said in Matthew 6:23, at the end of that verse, how great is that darkness? Amen. How great is that darkness? The more we look away from God, the less light we have. The Bible says this in John chapter 1 and verse number 4. The Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse number 4, it says this. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. If you want to have light in your life, get rid of the chaos, get rid of the confusion and all that kind of stuff. Folks, you got to let light in. You got to let light in. You got to read the Bible. You got to obey the Bible. You got to look at God. To have a single eye is to be focused upon God and upon his word and upon Jesus Christ. He said, how great is that darkness? How great is that darkness? Y'all, to give you an illustration, you all remember that. You remember, and it's in Matthew chapter number 14. Peter was out on a ship. It was midnight. It was maybe later. It might have been early in the morning, the fourth watch of the night. And Jesus came to them walking on the sea. Y'all remember that? Walking on the sea, and the disciples there in his ship, and they see Jesus walking to them on his ship. They're scared to death. And Jesus is out there walking on the sea, perfect peace where he's at. And Peter said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And Jesus said, come. He got out of the ship somehow, and he began to walk on the water as long as he had his eyes on Jesus. But you know the story. When he began to look away from the Lord, he looked at the waves, and they're bad. They're crashing. What happened to him? He began to sink. As long as he had a single eye to look at Jesus, in your life, put your eyes upon Jesus. Don't we have a song somewhere that says, turn your eyes upon Jesus? Amen. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. But people have turned their eyes away from God. They've turned their eyes away from the Bible. The Bible is a strange book to them, you see. They've turned away from it, and they have looked to the world for their answers. They think the answer is out there somewhere. Give me a pill. Give me this or give me that quickly. I want it. I want a pill. You can do it another way. It might take a little bit longer, but it'll help you a whole lot more, and it's free. Doesn't cost a thing. Amen. Doesn't cost a thing. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Our society is in a dark state spiritually. I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but sometimes this happens to Christians too. Sometimes our bodies are full of junk food. Uh-oh. Boy, who's that going to hit? I don't know. Our bodies are full of junk food. They're full of sugar. I know you don't like me talking about medicine, but folks, just listen. Sugar is cancer's favorite food. It'll help you to get rid of it. But I like sugar. I like cookies, but we got rid of all the cookies a long time ago. I eat cookies for breakfast. Coffee and cookies, you know. I don't now, but I have, and I'd like to. I'd like to have one this morning. As a matter of fact, I opened a cabinet, see, looking, but we didn't have any. Didn't even have any vanilla wafers. I figure that manna they had in the wilderness probably like vanilla wafers, you know. That's what I always think of. When it manna, you know, you read about manna. Okay. People are filled with these things, and our minds are filled with TV and internet. Folks, it brings in darkness. It does not bring in light. People's souls are empty. I'm not talking about you. Most of the world, they're shriveled up. The Bible is a dead book to them, but if you want to let light in, the entrance of these words gives light. Amen. The more you look at God, the more light comes in. And the more you look away from God, the more you push him out of your life, the more you get so busy that you don't have time for God. You don't have time for the Bible. You don't have time to sing. You don't have time for all of these kinds of stuff. Darkness comes in. Darkness comes in. We're opening the door for darkness to come in, you see. But the more you focus a single eye, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But darkness comes in when we look at the world. And the world, folks, is not going to get any lighter. It is going to get worse. I was telling the people in Sunday school this morning, the world is going to get worse. It's going to get darker and darker and darker. And the world wants the church to change with it. We ain't going to change, you see. We're going to stick with the Bible. It starts at a young age when children are filling their mind with darkness, with trashy music, with four-letter words, with lots of flesh, all that kind of stuff, see. Many Christians, even Christians, not you folks, but many have no use for the Bible. They don't like it, see. And if the preacher preaches against anything, why, he's just hateful and mean and negative. The psalmist said, as I may have already given you this verse, Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And he said in verse 37 of that same chapter, Lord, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. There's a whole bunch more to be said about the eyes. The light of the body is the eye. Could I give you one more verse that comes to my mind? In 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 15 and 16, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, I think it says. So see, it's the lust of the eyes, the desire to see something. See something. Let me ask you something. What are your eyes focused on? Do you have a single eye? If you want peace in your heart, peace in your house, for God to bless you, then have a single eye focused upon God, upon the Holy Bible, and Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please.